Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We go to the NFL, where the undefeated Rams sit a 7-point favorite over the Minnesota Vikings in LA on Fox coming up later tonight.
In fact, my first question about this, and Jonas got me even more excited the way he introed that. Entering the year, and that was 3 games ago only, a short 3 games. What were the Rams' title odds to win the Super Bowl?
13-1.
You could have gotten 13-1. Now, there's a certain book in Vegas on the Strip, the Westgate. They take some pretty decent-sized bets. Right now, the Rams are 2-1. 2-1. Now, that is something I don't even remember the Patriots at this point in the year, in the last 10 years, being as low as 2-1. Do you?
I do not.
So we could make the case that after 3 games, a team that was in a cluster with 6 or 7 others at 13-1 amongst the big favorites is now the biggest favorite of the last decade at one of the key books on the Strip. You've upgraded drastically the Rams in just 3 games. Entering the year, if I would have said Rams and Minnesota on a neutral field, or let's say in LA, because it's where the game is tonight, what would have your line been 22 days ago?
Rams would have been -2.5 had the Vikings a slightly better team.
Okay, so home field's typically worth 3. You're saying Minnesota was a little bit better. And remember, the Rams, they have certainly a below average home field advantage. Would you agree with that?
I agree. In prior years, I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year with them being an elite team.
Okay, well, I mean, they played at home, right? What have you seen?
So far, they've looked great in every game.
No, I know, but I don't think home field advantage is as much as how you play there. Over the long, long term, it is, right? If you have 1,000 or even hundreds of games, you can say, look at the record. But if things change year to year because of crowd enthusiasm, because of whatever, then you're not going to have enough data to tell you what the home field is. You're going to have to look at it and say, how loud is the crowd? Is there a lot of kind of false start penalties on the other side? Is there something about the surface, like at Lambeau, that's tough for the other team? Is it a dome? From what you've seen, the things that made the Rams not a great home field last year in L.A. really wasn't about the crowd enthusiasm, was it? They were a good team last year. It was about some other factors, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but I think the crowd is more enthusiastic this year.
Yeah, so they might be a little bit better this year with home field, but do you think it even gets to average?
I think it does.
Well, I disagree with that. First disagreement we're going to have. But either way, what you're saying is even with a typical home field, you would have had Minnesota slightly better. Thus, it would have been less than 3 for the home team. They would have been favored by 2.5. Now it's 7. What has happened? And maybe we should find out now. Who do you like someone in this game? Who do you like?
I like the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. So what's the thinking?
Number one factor for me in this game is the cluster injuries at cornerback for the Rams.
All right, so define cluster injuries.
That's when you have more than one injury at a key position, and the Rams have it. Tlaib, shutdown corner, he's out for 8 weeks. Peters, the other shutdown corner, very likely out tonight.
Okay, so Jonas, I've heard different things. I haven't checked the last hour or two. What are you hearing about Peters playing tonight?
They're both out tonight.
So he's out?
Yeah, both of them are out.
Okay, so Fez, what you're saying is when you have multiple injuries at the same position, it's not just first string to second string. Now it's first string to third string, and maybe a guy off the practice squad's your nickelback.
Exactly right. So what happens is each one of these guys is worth at least a half a point, RJ, but collectively when they're both out, it's not a half.
So how many guys do you think in the NFL are worth a half a point, non-quarterbacks?
Probably about 100.
100. Now, you do realize that the typical Vegas wise guy thinks there's only about 36. So you're in a whole other universe. The idea that Tlaib, at his age, is worth a half a point, you might be the only guy in Vegas that thinks that.
No, there's actually guys
that think.
I just read a guy that thinks he's worth the point.
Who? I would quit reading him at this point. That should be the last sentence you've ever read. A point. Holy camoly. Okay. So you think that cluster injuries, a cornerback, problems for the Rams. Go ahead.
Yeah. So because of that, let's say they're both worth half a point.
I disagree, but go ahead.
If they're both worth half a point, I can't just half plus a half and be one. I think it'd be I have to double it because of the compounding impact. I think that especially the Vikings. Right,
so what you're saying is you're making a factor here, and this is the way that handicapping happens. You identify factors, and then you add them all up. Let's agree we have a factor, which is thinness in the defensive backfield for the Rams is a disadvantage for them. All right, continue.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings are in position to take advantage of that because they have very gifted wide receivers in Diggs and Thielen. They have two elite wide receivers, especially Diggs, that can take advantage of that.
Okay, so you like them.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, guys, and we've got a ton of and that's the thing about a show like ours. Once you start listening and you get this level of information, even if you don't bet, you're going to be like, I can't be uninformed. So we get a lot of consistent daily listeners. If so, you know what this sound means. And it means I just bet Fezzik $100 on this game. Because anytime a pro at the table here at pregame.com likes a game on the radio, on Straight Out of Vegas, anyone else at the table can grab the green button. Can you see it, Jonas?
I can see it. Everybody on radio can see it.
It's green, and it has a big, gigantic dollar sign on it.
It's huge.
I just pressed the button, Fez. We now have a $100 bet. So you know when people are wrong like Fez is wrong here, they're going to pay a price. Because let's be candid, Jonas. You're from the culture of the hot takes. I'm not saying you're the worst of the bunch, but you've had a hot take in your day, wouldn't you say?
Oh, come on. You fire away 4 hours in the middle of the night on the weekend. You got to keep people awake when they're on the roads or driving an Uber, of course.
So when you're wrong, when you're just plain wrong about a hot take, what happens?
When I get called out on social media for it, I tell them that I never said it and they were intoxicated when they were listening. That's the advantage to weekend overnights.
So what you're saying is there's no consequence.
Oh, none whatsoever. Gunslinger. None.
And I think that's one thing people don't like about talk radio. Everyone's trying to get attention. Not Jonas. He's talented enough. He doesn't need that. But a lot of people are trying to get attention. Here, Fez, I don't know if you were trying to get attention, but if you are, you pay the price because of the green button. Any closing thoughts? I'll give my quick handicap actually first. Fez, you may or may not know this, but road teams on Thursday night are at a huge disadvantage. In fact, if all you did was blindly bet road teams that played on Sunday, you would only win 45% of the time on those Thursday games. Why? Because it's 3 days rest versus 6 days rest, and the travel time is even more difficult. If you add in, and this comes from Mike Lombardi, who joins us every Tuesday, bottom of the hour, if you add in long travel, 1,500 miles or more, ATS against the spread and straight up, those road teams, and Minnesota falls into that, are 1-12. 1-12 straight up, 1-12 against the spread. You take that long, long travel, you take the short, short, short week, and boy, oh boy, you got a big old disadvantage.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, we have got a big college football matchup going on this Saturday. We've got number 8 Notre Dame sitting right now at a 5.5-point favorite over the 7th-ranked Stanford Cardinal.
Oh, now, you know, actually, producer Lauren, take that sound down. Because I got special sound. Thank you. I got special sound for Brad Powers here. And this sound is, you know, I'll let you get started first. But you had Notre Dame. You were in front of, and let's be honest, we're coast to coast, hundreds of stations. And in front of the world, you said, Notre Dame. I think you even pounded your fist. Notre Dame is the most overrated team in college football. Now, Notre Dame looked mighty good last week. And I'm thinking, Brad, he has all the college knowledge. He's as sharp at college as anyone I know. I was thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. Like, he's going to have some answer why, hey, don't be deceived by what you saw. Don't be deceived. And I was all ready to listen to it. And then he comes in on Monday and say, hey, guys, I've decided Notre Dame is no longer really overrated. Now, let me tell you, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that's a little disappointing. Let's hear your thoughts.
Well, why is Notre Dame no longer overrated? They made a significant change at quarterback, the all-important position on a football team. They decided, I think Brian Kelly knew that his team was in trouble. So he switches up the quarterback, goes to Ian Book. All of a sudden, Notre Dame finds a passing offense, 300-plus yards passing. Notre Dame scores more points in the first half against Wake Forest than they had in any full game this season. Yeah, I upgraded the Irish with the new quarterback. They're not over. They're a little overrated, just a little.
So they went. You hear the tightrope music?
Yeah.
Can you see him, Jones, jumping on each side of the rope?
Okay, I took a beating on my show because of Brad, okay? Because all I did was mention it.
I don't want this music for you. It's only for—go ahead.
Okay, I was doing my weekend overnight show here at Fox Sports Radio, and all I did was mention ahead of the game, saying something to keep an eye out for, because if you remember, when Brad was discussing Notre Dame last week, the line legitimately changed while we were on the air discussing it. It went down a point and a half.
He gave the game, and like 5 seconds later— everyone was betting against Notre Dame. I thought, no way people could have fired that quick.
Oh, yeah, and I talked about it. Yes, I talked about it. I said, man, that's something to keep an eye out because—
You suffered for that? What happened,
The game
Jonas?
Wasn't even over. The body wasn't even cold, and I was getting hammered on Twitter. What about Notre Dame being overrated? What about—
And you did was pass along the guy with all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. You passed along his
take. That's it.
And you suffered.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, hold on. Let's let Brad respond.
I'm sorry, Jonas.
Listen, for you taking a beating. You know
I
what
didn't
though?
Take that much of a beating.
Hey, you know what though? I wore it. I didn't turn into a rat. I didn't blame you for it on the show. I just wore it. I took full responsibility for it. That's what buddies do, Brad.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
To me, the best film guy in media, Greg Cosell. We've got Kansas City.
Yep.
Here's the debate that I'm having with people. I think you can put three buckets in. How is this team playing so well on offense? Mahomes, Andy Reid, or the playmakers? Now, I think everyone's going to agree it's some combination of the three. Where do you put, though, the weight to
well,
this historic
why isn't that a good answer? It's like people ask me... If with the Rams, just to jump back to them, is it McVay or Goff? And my response to that would be, so what? You know, if you have a good scheme and you have good players, that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, obviously, Alex Smith put up good numbers. He's nowhere near as talented a thrower as Pat Mahomes, and therefore Mahomes' numbers might be better when all said and done. But Alex Smith put up very good numbers and played his best within that offense as well. So when you have a well-schemed, well-designed offense that presents good throwing opportunities, you're going to get quality play. Now,
yeah.
keep one thing in mind. Over the years, Andy Reid's offenses have often gotten off to terrific starts. Alex Smith got off to the best start of his career a year ago. Not the same numbers as Mahomes, because Mahomes is a better thrower. But then, as the season progresses, that seems to slow down a bit, because teams just get a better feel for how to defend it.
And is that because Reid's making adjustments between the years that it takes a while for the other teams to catch up to?
Can be. I mean, there's always adjustments being made on both sides. There's always tweaks being made. Andy Reid tends to be a play caller who calls plays without, in my view, again, without necessarily worrying about the defense. And if he gets the right defense, the plays can be really effective. If he doesn't get the right defense, the plays don't work. Other offensive coaches start with the defense. The defense is the first thing they look at in determining how they want to set up their passing game.
That's Greg Cosell. You can follow him on Twitter, at Greg Cosell. Speaking of changes, I talked to a guy that watches the All-22. I trust him to some degree. He said the Giants with Eli were made some schematic changes last week, and it was the driver of the better performance. Did you see last week's Giants performance driven by, hey, the randomness, some good games, some bad, or did you see something different from the Giants?
Well, one thing they absolutely did last week was there was a lot more of what we call quick game. As I said, when you talk about three-step drop and the ball comes out, I think they did a lot more quick game. There was a lot more timing and rhythm to their pass game. They also had to compensate for the fact that they started Chad Wheeler at right tackle, replacing the ineffective Eric Flowers, and he was going up against J.J. Watt. Now, while Watt did get three sacks, when all was said and done, the Giants' pass game approach did camouflage that weakness to a large extent. Watt did not control the game or ruin the game for the Giants. So yes, they played specific to their opponent, but also they wanted to get Eli comfortable and get the ball out of his hands, and the numbers clearly reflect that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.